Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and see the greatness of this God. And see how that great God desires to be seen in our community. Mark chapter 9, there's a fundamental problem that Jesus Christ addresses. But it's a problem like a disease that fans out and affects many, many people. Read the passage with me. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. He's returning down to the valley. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. Scribes disputing, arguing with the disciples. All of a sudden, when the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him. Then he asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" Out of the crowd, one man answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." Jesus replied to them, "You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me." So they brought him to Jesus. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately convulsed the boy. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening to him? Jesus asked the father, "From childhood. Many times it has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, everything is possible to the one who believes." Immediately the father of the boy cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly coming together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Then it came out, shrieking and convulsing him violently. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. Afterward, he went into a house, and his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he told them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer." Note, demonic destruction. When Jesus went to heaven, the demons did not pack their bags and move to Mars. They are still here. And they are active. And the most vulnerable targets are children. They have one goal, and that is to destroy the child before the child becomes an adult. Destruction is their art. They are not creative, they are not redemptive, they are not helpful. They are destructive, hateful, vicious. I don't know where that fits into your theology this morning, brothers and sisters, but it better be there somewhere. Like the scribes and the crowd watching, our society has pretty much written this off and cast it aside. It must be psychological. It must be physical. It must be mental. Spiritual? Nah. Demons? You gotta be kidding. We live in a lightened age. We live in an age, all right. An age when demonic forces enjoy almost unchallenged access to the weakest among us. The demonic influence was so complete that the child was unable to control himself. And that powerlessness was noted by the father, who correctly diagnosed the problem. This is not an educational deficiency. This is not a psychological quirk. This child of mine is under the control of a hostile spiritual force, a personality not his own. He is powerless to do anything about it. Totally victimized by this superior force. I wonder if we could peel back the thin veneer of sophistication this morning and look at the social problems that we face in our neighborhood, you face in your neighborhood, we face in our families. I wonder how much of that we would understand differently if we could see it to its source. Wonder how many difficulties that you're facing and disappointments and frustrations that oppose you and that upset you and that derail me. How many of those are driven by demonic forces? That behind the evil, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering is a demonic force bent on human destruction. But in our day, where's the father that has the spiritual sensitivity to recognize the source? I want to tell you, demons can have a field day today because through the media, through the educational systems, through the social forms and customs of entertainment, they have ready access to the minds and hearts of our children and ourselves. We need to pray, as Jesus told his disciples. Pray for discernment so that we can accurately recognize those determined forces of destruction that are very real and discern when they are the problem. When all the medication in the world won't change the problem. The demonic destruction caused a domestic despair. The father said, this young one of mine has from his childhood been experiencing this, and then I heard about you, and I brought him to you, but you weren't here, and so I presented him to your disciples and asked them to cast him out, but they weren't able. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm really not sure that you are concerned about my need. See that? Hear that despair? I hope you'll tuck your bulletin here, and I hope you'll read this paragraph every day for the next 2 weeks until you feel the despair of this father. He had come to the one source, the one person who had raised the dead, brought them back to life, who had healed the blind eyes, and his hope was dashed to despair. Because the disciples could not help. Jesus listens to this man say, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, Jesus responded, you're asking me if I can do anything. You're wondering if I have compassion for your need. Your grief is so heavy, the burden of despair is so deep, that you question that God Himself can help you. That's where some of you are this morning. I know. I listen. God can't help you. He's not interested. There's no way that God would participate in your problems and bring release. And you this morning in your prayer to God will say, God, I know you can't do anything, but if you could, you really don't care. And even if you could and cared, you're not concerned about me. And you're wrong, wrong, wrong. Jesus picks up on his despair and he answers, if you can, he quotes the man back. If you can, you're talking to me and you're saying, if you, Lord, if you, Jesus, if you can. And then he responds by this tremendous hope builder. Everything is possible to the one who believes. In other words, Dad, I don't lack compassion. I don't lack care. Everything is possible because I'm God. Do you believe that? And the father answers immediately, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now he has hope. Now he sees a ray of light. Now, although he doesn't understand all that's involved, he at least hears in the words of Lord Jesus Christ that there is some measure of relief, that my faith is the key. My faith doesn't create anything. My faith looks to the one who is able. That's what faith is. Faith does not do miracles. Faith looks to the God who is able to do everything, anything, except contradict himself. Faith reaches up humbly and says, Lord, I believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a prayer. The third thing in the story is about the dynamic deliverance. The dynamic deliverance began when Jesus Christ said, how long must I put up with you? How long will I be with you, you unbelieving generation? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. That's where the dynamic began. Jesus Christ is the one with whom all things are possible. Not with me, Jim Custer. Not with the elders of this church. Not with our president. Not with the United Nations. Not with you. The key to all things being possible lies in the person of God Himself. Bring Him to me. The key to the need is to get the needy one in the presence of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Then it came out, shrieking and convulsing him violently. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is king. All authority is given unto him in heaven and earth. He is Lord over the serpents. He is Lord over the spirits. He is Lord over the skies. And when he speaks, the spirit must respond. And does. And the little boy now lies on the ground, still as a corpse. And some say, he's dead. Now, Jesus delivered the little boy from the spirit, but that was only half the work. He then has to touch the little boy and raise the little boy up, help the little boy up. The demons are only part of the problem. The other part is the positive influx into the heart and life of this little lad of the life-giving life of God, the energy-giving life of God. God himself desires to come and dwell in this little lad. He desires to come to dwell within me, within you. It's not enough that we be forgiven of our sins. That's only half the formula. The other half is that we be indwelt by God. And the absence of our sins does not secure for us the dynamic of a positive, godly life. Where demons are involved, they indeed need to be encountered by the Lord Jesus. And he's the only one that can do that. It's in his name. But that's only half the equation. The other half is when the little boy is lifted up by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can just imagine that little boy going back to his home and meeting one of his playmates who probably was there to see this. And this is probably what they did.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, nothing my God cannot do.
That little boy knew that. That was not empty theology to him. And now that dad knew that. The dad knew that Jesus Christ was indeed who he claimed to be. And that when he brought his child to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he finally got his child into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the compassion, all the power, all the energy of God was focused and unleashed in first delivering him from the demonic spirit and in filling him with God's spirit. My God is so big, so great. You just sang about that. You just sang that we want our whole community to know about the greatness of our God. We want them to see those things in our lives which will cause them to reflect upon and know that the God we serve is the true God. He is powerful. He's involved in the lives of people. Now you note something, don't you? You note that the little boy was the key to this dad's heart. And through the little boy, the Lord Jesus Christ both restored a family and gave witness to the whole community, the crowd standing around. Did more than that. Through this little boy, Jesus was able to teach the disciples some very important lessons. And that's the final point I want you to notice this morning. What began as a demonic, destructive situation and it mushroomed into a domestic despair and we're filled, our communities filled with domestic despair. Moms, dads can't get along, kids in rebellion, on and on and on and on it goes. Then became a dynamic deliverance where the demonic forces were set out and the very life and breath of God's grace and mercy, animation, flowed into that little boy's life. And that aroused within the disciples what led to a delegated duty. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we drive out the spirit? Go back to chapter 6. It's very obvious. The Lord Jesus had given the disciples that power, that ability to cast out demons. And they had done it and done it successfully. What went wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Well, Jesus said, let me tell you what's wrong. But before I tell you what's wrong, let me show you what's right. Jesus used the little child to teach the disciples their duty. Got that? Jesus used the little child to teach the disciples their duty. And disciples instinctively felt like we ought to have, what went wrong? Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. 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 Prayer is when you stop arguing with the scribes and talk to the master. Prayer is where you cultivate such a sense of his presence that you're sensitized to every experience that you have throughout the day. It changes your priorities. It elevates your sense of confidence. Prayer is that activity where I bring the person and their need to Jesus and his solution, either through the Word of God or through prayer. This kind, Jesus said, only goes out by prayer. And he taught the disciples that unless you're praying, you're not going to be powerful. Unless you are seeking God's face and worshiping him and opening your heart to him and listening to his voice, until your life and my life is centered in prayer so that it can be centered in God and he has that chance to transform us, both our insides and outsides, we're going to be ineffective. We're not even going to recognize the demonic. We're not going to be sensitive to the dead. And we're going to argue in vain with the scribes. Jesus said, pray. Let your eyes slip down. You're still in chapter 9. Verse 36. Jesus took a child, had him stand among them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. You won't learn that, and I won't learn that unless we spend time in prayer. In prayer, God himself will attune our hearts to what matters to him. And the little people, instead of being nuisances and interruptions, will become priceless persons who bring to us the person and opportunity of serving Jesus Christ. That's why I want us to become prayers. Prayers. This week, pray. Pray for the new pastor. Pray for the ministry to kids, their parents. Pray for the campaign, bring them to me. And that's what I want us to call that part of the campaign that focuses upon that specific facility to bring boys and girls, their moms and dads, face to face with Jesus Christ. Bring them to me. Pray what God would have you do by becoming informed and becoming involved. Pray for that new computer program with its capacities to enable us to communicate and care all the more. Pray about the single gathering in December, and pray that that will both bring us together so that we might grow, and that soon we'll need to return to a double gathering service on Sundays. But if we do, we would go to that different schedule forced by the blessing of God upon our congregation. Pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Your word says pray, and through prayer, we then will have our faith grow. And as our faith grows, we will become acquainted with and experience those nothing is impossible kinds of solutions to the needs all around us. Make us sensitive to the domestic despair. Make us aware of your value of the little ones and their place in our lives to be used by you to teach us and help us grow and become deep and strong in our faith. Thank you, Father, for the duty, the opportunity, the privilege of representing you, of being those who are charged on earth with bringing folk to the Lord Jesus Christ and helping them to know him, to love him, and to serve him. I pray for those this morning who have deep personal grief. Lord, I bring them to you. Pray that you would minister to their needs, truly, specifically. I pray for that one this morning who is uncertain about their relationship with you and ask that you would draw them too, to you. Help us to bring them to you. Make us a people of prayer, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.